Hello, everybody. This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Thank you so much for joining us today. And if you're brand new, welcome to the Daily Hope family. We hope you'll enjoy the teachings of Pastor Rick Warren right here. I'm so excited for all of you to learn about your shape. It might not be the shape you're thinking of right now. Rick loves to use acrostics, and this one is S-H-A-P-E. Your shape. Your spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and experiences. And one of the reasons I love this series and have shared it with so many friends is because Rick talks about the way God wired you and why you need not just know your shape, but how to use it to do the things that God designed you to do. So let's jump right in. Here's Rick with the final part of a message called Unwrapping Your Spiritual Gifts.
A couple weeks ago, we started this series that God never makes copies of anything. He only makes originals because originals are far more valuable than any copy. And that God made you for a purpose and He has wired you or shaped you uniquely, unlike anybody else in the world. We talked about how that in architecture, form follows function. In other words, tell me what you want the building to be used for, and then I'll tell you how to build it. But the opposite is true with human beings. Function follows form. In other words, look at the way God formed you, how He shaped you, and then you'll know what you're supposed to do with your life. And we said that there are five things that make you you, your shape, S-H-A-P-E. Spiritual gifts, what am I gifted to do? Heart, what do I love to do? Abilities, what are my natural abilities? P, personality, and E, experiences. What are my unique experiences that nobody else in the world has had? These five things make you. They make up your shape. Now, today we're going to look at the H in shape, which is your heart. And in Proverbs chapter 27, there on your outline, it says this. As a face is reflected in water, so the heart reflects the person. Your heart is what makes you, you. Now, when we talk about heart, we're talking about your interest, your passions, your desires, the emotional component of you. Not your intellect, but the emotional component of you. Your hopes, your dreams, your ambitions, that which motivates you to get up in the morning, what drives you, what excites you, what interests you. As I said, these are all the components of your heart. And your heart, the Bible tells us, affects everything you say. It affects everything you do. It affects everything you feel. And your heart is different than everybody else's heartbeat. Now, this is true not just emotionally, it's true physically. Did you know that your heartbeat is slightly different than everybody else's heartbeat in the world? Just like you have a thumbprint and an eye print and a voice print and a footprint that's unique, you also have a unique heartbeat. It's just slightly different than everybody else's. That's not only true physically, it is true emotionally. That there's some things that you're extremely interested in and other things you couldn't care less about. There are some things that are fascinating to you, and you could think about them or talk about them for a long time, and other things you're bored to tears. There's some things that really get you excited, that wind your crank, that turn you on, that get your juices running. And there's some things that, frankly, they just leave you flat. You've got no interest in them at all. And God gave each of us a different emotional heartbeat. We all like different things, so that way everything in the world gets done. If we all like to do the same thing, if we all had the same loves, the same interests, there would be a lot left undone in the world. But on the heartbeat, we're all different. Now, let me just show this. For instance, how many of you would say, I don't just like dogs. I am a dog lover. I really love dogs. Can I see your hands? All right. These are the dog lovers. You're probably sitting next to a cat lover. Now, how many of you say, I'm not really into dogs, but I really, really love cats. I love cats. And I'm a fanatic about cats. Can I see your hands? All right. How many of you'd say, I couldn't care less about either? All right. Okay. See, we're all just different. How many of you would say, you know what? Like a fix, I have to have my football. I just love football. I got to have my football fix, particularly in the fall. Can I see your hands? Yeah. How many of you would say, If football was never again on TV, I wouldn't miss it. Can I see your hands? We just started some family feuds just there. I'll be doing marriage counseling after the last service. Well, the truth is we all have different interests. How many of you think it's rude when people on the bleachers leave early? Huh? Just thought I'd throw that in, you know, just... You know, every once in a while, even I do a commercial. What can I say? Now, there are some things you care deeply about and some things you couldn't care less about. And where do you think that came from? It came from God. God hardwired it into your system. All your interests, the hobbies, the sports, the things that... God put that in you. In fact, the Bible says this in Philippians chapter 2. It is God. It is God who produces in you the desires. That's your interests, your passions, your desires, your hopes, your dreams, your ambitions, that which excites you. It is God who produces in you these desires and actions that please Him. God made you to be you. He doesn't want you being interested in stuff other people are interested in. He wants you interested in the stuff you're interested in. And He takes pleasure in enjoying you. He enjoys watching you enjoy His creation. God enjoys watching you receive enjoyment. Now, as I said, God placed this guidance system in you, your heart, this emotional component of your life, that determines what you say out of the heart, the man speaks, and what you do and what you feel and all these things. Now, here's an important thing. I want you to write it down. When I do what God shaped me to do, two things. I enjoy it, and I'm good at it. When I do what God shaped me to do, I enjoy it, and I'm good at it. These are two things that help you determine your heart, what kind of heart God gave you. Now, the first evidence of heart is that you enjoy it. You get pleasure in the things that God wired you to enjoy to do. You get enjoyment. You get satisfaction. The Bible says you delight in it. Now, I wonder how many of you really delight in your work. You feel, I was wired for this, I was shaped for this. I delight in my work. Most of the time, you have two attitudes toward your work. One of them is, good morning, Lord, and the other is, good Lord, it's morning. Now, which of those you say tends to be dependent upon whether you are shaped for that work and you have a heart for it or not. You see, when you do what you love to do, nobody has to pay you. Nobody has to reward you. You don't need a supervisor to do it. When you do what you love to do, you don't need external motivations. You don't have to have contests and competitions. You just flat out love doing what you're doing. You don't need any external thing. This is what I do. I pastor this church because I love to pastor this church. I was wired to pastor this church. I'm not going anywhere. I love this church. I do it for free. I don't take a salary here. You know, you're paid to be good, but I'm good for nothing. And I do it because I love to do it. And people say, you ever going to leave Saddleback? Of course not. I'm not going to leave Saddleback. I love this church. It's what I was wired to do. On the other hand, if you've ever been in a job that you weren't wired to do, you weren't shaped to do, if you've ever been in a job you don't have the heart for, it's a drag. If you've been in a job that you don't have a heart for, it's just boring you to tears and you're going, oh, I got to get out of here. And it's just a real drag. Today we're going to talk about how to follow your heart. Because your heart says a lot of God's will for your life. But the problem is our hearts get beat up, they get bruised, they get bumped around, they get broken. And we're going to talk about that. But one of the things that you know is that when you're doing what God gave you a heart to do, you flat out enjoy it. The other thing that you know you're doing what God made you do is you're good at it. If you're good at it, that's a pretty good indicator that God shaped you for it. You're productive. When you do what you have a heart for, you're creative, you're productive, you're effective. In fact, the secret of an effective life is simply this. Do what you love to do. Do what you love to do, and you'll be effective at it. If you don't love doing it, you'll never be effective at it. People are rarely successful at things they hate doing. Rarely, because they don't have any passion for it. You know, the top athletes, why are they so good? Because they love doing it. God gave them the heart to run or jump or surf or play basketball or whatever. And the guys at their top of the field, and the women at the top of the field, Olympic athletes, they don't do it for profit. They don't even do it for praise. They do it because of their passion. It is a passion with them. And that word passion is another word for heart. That when we talk about your heart and how God shaped you, it's your passion, that you're passionate about some things. And why is this important? Because only passionate people get things done. You're not going to accomplish much in life unless you're passionate about it. Moses was passionate about setting his people free from Egyptian bondage. Paul in the Bible is passionate about sharing the good news with everybody in the world. A guy named William Wilberforce, a Christian, was passionate about abolishing slavery from the British Empire, and he did it. Gandhi was passionate about liberating his country from British rule and having an independent India. A guy named Martin Luther was passionate about reforming the church in Europe, and the Reformation and the Enlightenment all came as a result of one man having a passion. And then another guy named Martin Luther King had a passion for equality and for justice and influenced the world. You only influence things when you're passionate about it. And so today we've got to look at uncovering those covered up passions in your life, those covered up interests in your life. Why? Because when you have a heart for something, you give it your best. If you don't have a heart for something, you don't. And the Bible calls this being fruitful. Look up here on the screen. Jesus said in John 15, "You give glory to my Father when you produce a lot of fruit." Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to have a fruitful life? It means you're productive, you're effective, you're creative. And the only way you bring glory to God is when you do what you were made to do. And God looks down and says, "You're doing it." And you enjoy it, and you're good at it. And it brings joy to you, and it brings joy to God. He says, you bring fruit. You bear fruit. You're productive. And he says, that gives me glory. It gives me honor. God made you to shine like a light in the world. He doesn't want you to cover up your talents, and he doesn't want to cover up your passions, your hearts, your interests. It brings him pleasure. You were made to shine. Look at this verse on the screen. Matthew 5. Jesus says, "Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good deeds." What you were wired to do, do the thing you were made to do. And he says, that's a witness, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Notice it doesn't say anything there about speaking. It says, let your light shine, not speak your light. Let your light shine before others so they may see, not hear, but see the good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. When people become what God made them to be, it brings glory to God. And people go, praise the Lord. You were made to shine. Now, we were all made to shine. You were made to shine, but as life goes on, you tend to get a little dimmer. You don't stay as bright as God intended for you to be. Now, what I mean by that, every person, everybody in sound of my voice, God has put certain passions in your heart, certain desires, certain dreams, certain ambitions, certain interests. And we all are different in these ways. But the problem is this. Most people have never, ever really acted on or fulfilled or attempted or developed or utilized their God-given passions, their interests, their dreams. In fact, we bury our dreams. God doesn't want that. What keeps you from following your heart? Well, before we can talk about how to follow your heart, we need to deal with five heart stoppers. These things are like spiritual cholesterol. They block your heart. They stop your passions. They cause you to conform to society rather than being the unique person God meant for you to be. What are they? Number one, the number one heart stopper is disappointment. Disappointment. When you've been hurt, you tend to pull back into a shell and say, I'm never going to let anybody else hurt me. And you give up on your dreams. You give up on your ambitions. You give up on your interests, on your passions. And you pull back into a protective mode that says, don't get hurt is the number one goal of life. Bad idea. You're not living, you're just existing. When you live in a shell like that, it's a self-imposed prison. And the Bible says, when I have an expectation and then it doesn't turn out the way that I intended, then I get disappointed. In fact, it says in Proverbs 13:12, hope deferred, that means a dream, an ambition, a desire deferred, makes the heart sick. Well, if first you don't succeed, welcome to the human race. You're normal. Almost nobody succeeds on the first try. But we often give up. And when we allow disappointment to come into our lives, it stops our heart. Number two is fear. Fear is the second heart stopper. It keeps you from being what God wants you to be. It's a self-imposed prison. Jesus told a story about this. He called it the parable of the talents. We actually get the word talent in English from this story out of the Bible. In the Bible, a talent was an amount of silver. It was a weight. It was an amount of money in silver. And he tells the story of this wealthy man who gives three servants. One servant, five talents, and one three, and one talent. And he says, go out and invest it. Make the most of what you've been given. That's what God says to you. Make the most of what you've been given. I'm not going to judge you according to anybody else, but make the most of what you've been given. One guy comes back, he's doubled his investment. God says, the master says, good job. Second guy comes back, he's doubled his investment. The master says, good job. The third guy comes back, says, well, I didn't do anything with it. He says, what? He says, no, I just buried it in the ground. He said, you buried your talent in the ground? Why? He said, I was afraid. It is fear that causes you to bury your talents. It is fear that keeps you from living your dream. It's fear that keeps you from attempting that goal. It's fear that corrals your passion and limits your vision and shrinks your heart. It's a heart stopper. There's a third thing, and it's guilt. Oh boy, this is a big one. You cannot be guilty and go after your dream at the same time. Why? Because guilt drains you of enormous amounts of energy. It's like carrying a big sack of garbage on your back all the time. You're going to get tired because you're carrying around all the regrets of your past, all the shame of your past, all the guilt of your past. You cannot be confident and guilty at the same time. That's why people lose their confidence. They lose their confidence because they think, what if somebody else finds out? And who did I tell that to? And who did I tell that to? And I've always got to be protecting myself. And they lose their confidence because they're guilty. Now, friends, God never intended for you to walk around with a bunch of guilt and regrets. That's what Jesus Christ came to do, to forgive it all. And he came to earth and he was nailed to a cross so you can stop nailing yourself to a cross. He was hung up for your hang-ups. He died for all your sins so they could be completely forgiven. He's paid for them so you don't have to pay for them. You can stop beating yourself up about it. Everything you've ever done wrong has already been paid for by Jesus Christ. That's called the gospel. Gospel means good news. It's the best news in the world. What's the best news in the world? Everything you've ever done wrong has already been forgiven. You just have to accept that forgiveness from Jesus Christ. Put your trust in him. That's called the good news. And when you do that and you realize everything I've ever done wrong or will do wrong, Jesus Christ has already paid for and forgiven, and all I have to do is accept it, what he did for me. Now that's going to set my heart free. And I'm going to move ahead and become what I've always wanted to be. Because I'm not carrying this garbage bag of guilt and regret and shame around and beating myself up all the time. You can stop beating yourself up. Disappointment, fear, guilt. These are heart stoppers. The fourth one is another big one, bitterness. Bitterness will eat you alive. It's worse than cancer. It is the worst heart disease you can have, bitterness. Because when you become resentful and you're always thinking about how to retaliate and get revenge, and you're always thinking about that person who hurt you in the past, it keeps you stuck in the past. You can't get on with the present or the future because you're so hung up about that person who hurt you. Let it go. They don't deserve it, but you don't deserve it either. You don't deserve to be forgiven. God forgave you. It's not because they deserve it. You let them go because you need to get on with your life. When you hold on to hurt from the past, it's like driving a car looking in the rearview mirror. You're going to crack up. You're always looking in the past. Now listen, your past is past. There were people who hurt you in your past, and I'm sorry. As your friend and as your pastor, I'm sorry. I really am. I'm sorry you've been hurt. And God is sorry too about your hurt. But the fact is, your past is past. And the people in your past can't hurt you anymore unless you allow them to. And the way you allow them to is by rehearsing it in your mind. And every time you go over, he hurt me that way, she hurt me that way, you go over and over, you're allowing them to hurt you again. Let it go. That is a heart stopper. It's a heart disease that keeps you from enjoying life. Now, the fifth heart stopper is rejection. And it may be the most painful one of all. Anyone who's ever experienced rejection from a friend or a parent or a former spouse or a boyfriend or a girlfriend, you know how that hurts your heart. Rejection hurts. Now notice what the Bible says about all of these. In fear, it says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down. That's fear. In guilt, it says, my sins have caught up with me so I can no longer see. I've lost heart. In bitterness, it says, when my heart was bitter and I was angry, I was senseless. In other words, you don't think logically when you're either guilty or resentful. And in rejection, it says, they cut me down with sharpened tongues. In other words, they were attacking me verbally. They aim their bitter words like arrows straight at my heart. Some of you, when you were growing up, had people say things like this to you, either out on the playground or maybe even a parent or a relative. You're not worth anything. You're never going to amount to much. You'll never be a success. You're not good at fill in the blank. You're uncoordinated, you're this, you're that, you're not worthless, you'll never, and on and on and on. And you know what? You believed them, because they were an adult and you were a kid and you thought all adults are right. They were wrong. They lied to you. They were lying to you at that moment. You need to go back and erase that tape. You need to stop building your life on what critics said to you and start building your life on what God says about you. And God says this, I made you, I formed you, I shaped you, I planned you, I have a purpose for your life, I put certain abilities in you and a heart, and I love it when you do what I made you to do, and I didn't make you to be anybody else, and you don't have to please anybody else. If you please me, the Lord, you're doing the right thing all the time. And you need to stop living for the approval of other people. Listen, some of you think that if I just can be perfect, then I will have everybody's approval and they'll all love me. No, they won't. Even if you were perfect. Jesus was perfect and they killed him. They put him on a cross. So even if you're perfect, there are going to be people who don't like you. I hate to tell you this, but some of those people you've been trying to get their approval for years, you're not going to get it. In all likelihood, you're never going to get it. It's not your problem, it's their problem. But here's the even better news. You don't need it. You don't need it. You don't have to have their approval to be happy. But you do have to get rid of the heart stoppers of disappointment and fear and guilt and bitterness and rejection. We're going to talk about how to do that in a minute. You know, the Backstreet Boys used to sing a song that said, looking back on the things I've done, I was trying to be someone. In other words, I was just playing this part. Acting in the dark. In other words, I was a phony. I was a fake. I was trying to be what other people expected me to be. I wasn't really living my heart, the heart that God put in me. I was living what other people. And my shape, my heart got all bent out of shape. You need to today stop listening to what other people are saying to you and listen to what God says to you. And if you feel like giving up, Don't give up. Don't give up. If you feel like giving up on that dream, on that passion, don't do it. Don't do it. God says, let me reshape your heart. My prayer for you is that God will show you the shape of your heart, that you'll get back to being what God intended for you to be and not waste a second more trying to be something that other people would want you to be, that the world would want you to be, that people try to squeeze you into a mold. God made you to be you. That's what this whole series is about. And when you be you and you do it for God's glory, you enjoy it and you're good at it. And it brings glory to God too. On the back of your outline, the Bible says this in Colossians chapter 3. God says, whatever you do, whatever you do, I don't care if it's in the garbage or the garage or the garden or it's in an office or it's in a school or wherever. He says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Whatever you do, he says, anything you do in life, you better do it with all your heart, with your passion, with your interests, with your vitality. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. You have a job right now that you go to, and they're paying you, and you think you're working for men, but really life is a test. You're working for God, and God is saying, how can I trust them? What kind of worker are they? Because this life is preparation for the next, and God is watching. Now, how do I work at it with all my heart when my heart hurts? How do I work at it with all my heart when my heart's been beat up or bruised or broken or battered around? You do 5 things. Number 1, open it. You need to open your heart to Jesus. Open it up as wide as it needs to be to Jesus Christ, the one who gave you that heart. First, you open it up to him. That's the start. This week, I got a letter from Darren, and I asked him for permission to share it with you. And he said, okay. Dear Pastor Rick, I was born into a family of churchgoers, Catholics from Italy on my mom's side and Baptists from Missouri on my dad's side. That's a great combination. After my wife and I got married, we got involved in a small church that had some trouble and ended up splitting apart. And I was hurt. I lost my focus on God and I began to focus on making money instead. I built a giftware company to $10 million in sales, and money became the number one goal in my life. About that time, we started attending here at Saddleback, but my heart was so messed up, I just sat on the sidelines. 6 months after our first child was born, my wife had an affair, and she became pregnant with another man's baby. My marriage fell apart. And for the next 10 years, I raised my son as a single dad. Fortunately, a friend introduced me to Saddleback Separated Men's Ministry. And there I built a friendship with over 100 guys. I could not have made it without those guys. More importantly, when I opened my heart to Jesus, it began to change. I then asked God to bring a Christ-like woman into my life to share my heart and my life. One day at my son's baseball game, I was talking with some people about building a Christ-centered marriage. And a woman named Patty overheard and said, "That's the husband for me." Well, we're now married with a blended family of 6. And we are so happy being in a Saddleback small group together, serving together in the youth ministry, and I'm still helping guys in the men's ministry. Rick, this is a place where hearts get changed. Mine was, and I thank God for it every day. Nobody can change your heart like Jesus Christ. I don't care what heartache you've been through, what habit you're dealing with, what hang-up you can't let go of, nobody can deal with your heart the way Jesus can. Now, God gave you a heart, and he placed in you some passions, some desires, some dreams. Those came from God, some ambitions. God put those in your heart, hardwired it into you to make you you. But, this is very important, unless they are under his control, they will be misused, they will be abused, they will be misapplied, they will be misdirected, and they will be wasted in your life. God did not give you your heart and interests and passions for your own benefit just to go, well, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. Forget you, God. No, God gave them for a purpose, and unless you use them for his purpose, they will be misused, wasted, and misapplied. You see, friends, all around the world, there are millions and millions of passionate people, talented people, people with interests and dreams, ambitions, and passions that are being misused and abused. And it breaks God's heart. He's saying, I didn't mean it for that. I didn't mean it for that. And that's why, in spite of their talent and their ability and their heart and their passion and all these things, they are unhappy. Because if it's not used the way it was intended, it makes you miserable. When your passions are misused, it makes you miserable. And some of you say, well, Rick, to be honest with you, I don't think I'm really passionate about anything right now. Well, you know what that means, don't you? It means you are disconnected from God at this moment. You cannot be connected to God and be dispassionate. When you are plugged into God, it's like plugging into 220 voltage. You get passionate. In fact, the closer you get to God, the more passionate you become. And the further away from God you get, the more dispassionate you become. God is a passionate God. The only reason you have emotions is you're made in his image. God is emotional. God gets jealous when he sees you ignoring him for something else. God has love. God has feelings that can be hurt, yes. The only reason you have emotions is God gave them to you because he is an emotional God. And God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and I will never stop loving you, and there's nothing that can make me stop loving you. That's passion. And no matter what you've done wrong, I will love you. And in the book of Isaiah, he says, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Foretelling Jesus, the nails going through his palms. This is how much I love you. Look at this. I'm willing to let him nail my hands to the cross so you can be forgiven. That's how much I love you. No one's ever going to love you like God does. He's a passionate God. And when you spend time with God on a daily basis and you get with him regularly and you get plugged in, you can't help but being passionate. And you start to have the heart that God does for other people and the world. And you start to feel the things that God feels and feel the way he does. Listen, who you hang out with really does make a difference. I mean, I'd prove that with any teenager. Give me a teenage kid, and I take him and I put him with a group of dispassionate kids who care about nothing, who are apathetic about everything. And what happens within a matter of weeks? That kid becomes apathetic. What do you want to do? Oh, I don't know. Why? Who you hang out with makes a difference. You hang out with God, you're going to be passionate.
Thank you so much for joining us on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope today. Hey, I'm wondering, have you ever asked the question, what does God want me to do with my life? If you're like me, of course you have. And you're not alone. God intentionally created you to fulfill a unique purpose. It's so important that you discover how you can live the full and abundant life that God designed just for you in the Shape to Make a Difference Bible study. It was created by Pastor Rick and taught by Pastor Eric Reese. Now, in this study, you're going to see how the acrostic, S-H-A-P-E, which stands for Spiritual Gifts, Heart, Abilities, Personality, and Experiences, and it will reveal how God wired you and how you can use your shape to do the things that God made you to do. This is a 6-session video and workbook study, and it's going to help clarify to you your future goals, and it shows you how you can have the most fulfilling life possible. A life lived for God's purposes by God's design. Now, no matter what your age is, it's never too soon or too late to discover what God has shaped you to do. And this life-changing study kit is perfect for personal or small group study. We so appreciate all your prayers and support. And today, when you support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope with a gift to help share the hope of Jesus Christ with people all over the world, we're going to send you your very own copy of the Shape to Make a Difference 6-session video and workbook Bible study. It can really make a difference in your life. Just go to PastorRick.com. Or you can text the word HOPE to 70309. That's PastorRick.com, and that's got two R's in the middle. Or just text the word HOPE to 70309. And we thank you so much for your support. It means so much to us at Daily Hope. We hope you'll join us next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.